This podcast is sponsored by Sophie Reaptrish. She makes cave suits. She makes some of the best cave suits you can find. So if you're looking for a cave suit, you should think about getting one from Sophie. She's a one-person business based in Philadelphia. She started making leggings and has done an awful lot of different things over the years since she started doing that. And when she started caving, she was looking for cave suits, but didn't notice a whole lot to choose from. So she decided to make her own. And her cave suits are made from 500 denier cordura, which is really, really good and durable, but it's twice as thick where it counts in elbows, butts, knees. And unlike other cave suit companies, and I'm not knocking anybody or anything like that, there are an awful lot of colors you can choose from with Sophie. I mean, just look at SophieReaptress.com and take your pick. There's so many. Her cave suits start from a basic design, and you can make it more complex from there. You can have add-ons like extra pockets, inside pockets, knee pad pockets, an extra bat stencil wherever you want. Everything is made to order just for you. So I have a link to SophieReaptress.com in the description of this podcast, and you can find her on Instagram at SophieReaptress. Welcome to the Caving Podcast. I'm Matt Pelser of the Central Indiana Grotto. What's a grotto? A grotto is like a local caving club, kind of a local chapter of the National Speleological Society. And if caving sounds like something you want to try, then you want to make friends in the caving world, because it's not something you should do if you don't have any experience. And caving's not for everybody, so this very, very small group of ours are about to become your best friends if you get really into it. So find your local grotto. You don't have to join right away, but get some names, meet some people, ask some questions, maybe get on a trip or two, and do it the right way. Caving can be dangerous if you don't know what you're doing. It's like a lot of things, but quite safe once you do. So there's the spiel. I hope everybody had a great time at convention. Gosh, I wish I could have been there. I'm seeing pictures. Looks like a lot of fun. One of these years, I'm going to go. I say that every year, but one of these years, I'm actually going to do it. One that I will be at is Indiana Cave Capers, first weekend in August. Harrison County Fairgrounds right there in Corydon, Indiana. I'm going to be hosting the banquet and the door prizes and introducing our speaker, who this year will be Rand Hazlett, doing a program on the Fern Cave Project. And like usual, there's the welcome party with the Shallow Grotto, live music from Muchos Garcias, a band of cavers. Saturday night, Fistful of Tacos out of New Albany, going to cater the thing. And then Saturday night, we're going to hear the Bourbon Britches. This all-girl country rock band is going to be awesome. And of course, all the caving you want to do. I have a link to Indiana Cave Capers in the description of this podcast. I would love to see you out there. Whether or not I'm going to do any interviews or anything on site, I think is still to be determined. I don't like for capers to be a working trip. I like to have a good time. But then again, Sarah was a working trip, and I had a great time. And that's kind of what this episode's about. We went to Kegel's Chasm. This was on Saturday of the Sarah Cave Carnival. And I got on this trip because I ran into Jim Minnie on the grounds there. And he said, come with me tomorrow. And Kegels is one that I'd heard about and sounded like good company and a good time. And so hopped on. So this is kind of like last month where it was a bit of an interview and some random trip audio and then a car chat on the way back. Not so much a singularly focused interview as it was last time with Justin, but just kind of informal. Cavers talking to cavers about caving. So I hope you enjoy this. This is me and Jim Minnie. And then later we'll hear Chris Lee, Jennifer Young, and Jeff Rose in the car heading back.
I'm on the radio then. You two just wanted to be in competition with you.
Well, isn't that just the way?
You two can't hold a candle against you.
Tell that to Bono. So we're headed to Kegel's Chasm. Or is it Kegel Chasm? I'm looking Kegels. At the map. It's Kegel.
Kegel.
Is it possessive?
That's a great question. I've always called it Kegels, but you're right. On the map, it says Kegel.
So it's got to be possessive. The S has got to be the apostrophe S.
Correct.
Okay. So you've been here many times?
I have. I've been coming here since about... Be quiet, you. I've been coming here since about 1990. Used to live in St. Louis, and it was our last cave when we'd come to tag. I'd come to tag four or five times a year, and on our way back out, we would always do Kegels as a final Sunday morning trip, and bop the pit, climb up out of Jeepside, and that's kind of the trip we're going to take today.
So I didn't know that Kegel's chasm was this, as the map says, complex.
It is complex. That's a good word.
I thought that it was just the big pit and that was it. But it's a whole thing.
It is. There's actually three or four, I don't actually know, I've only done two of them, but there are three or four pits to the outside. And then all total, there are 12 drops that you can do inside of the Kegel's, let's call it Kegel, the Kegel complex. And as you see by the map, it's pretty complex. There's a lot of different levels, a lot of different drops. Whoever got to map this probably had a great time.
Why was it that Kegel's chasm was the last one you do on the way back? Was it? I've heard access is easy. It's park and go.
That's it exactly. It's right off the road. It's what, a 15-minute walk up the hill. Super easy access, and it's just like I said. It's a real quick jump off of the road, off of the highway. It's back onto the highway, and it's literally in town. It's also very dry, so you don't get wet. So you don't have to change, out of your wet clothes at the car. It's a real fun cave.
Well, that'll affect what I do today. So I brought like coveralls. I'm wearing the shoes that I'm going to wear in the cave. If I wear coveralls, am I going to get hot?
Probably.
Okay, I won't wear the coveralls. I'll just wear what I got on.
Yeah, I was going to say that's adequate.
Yeah.
So in this shirt sleeve t-shirt and a wicking t-shirt, and that's about it.
I'll just wear what I got on. I
may take a light jacket just in case I'm down there, because I'm usually the last person out when I lead trips. That way I can make sure that everybody gets out safely. If there's any issues, on the bottom, or somebody gets halfway up, we always have a way to get somebody up to help them and pick them off. So I'm always the last guy. I'm always the last guy in, and I'm always the last guy out. I want to make sure everybody gets in and out safely.
Do you have to rig what else we do in there, or is it already rigged?
There are a lot of rigged sections. What I'm going to rig today is the main pit, which is 186 or something like that, and then Jeep side, which is we'll drop a 200 into Jeep side, do one very small rebelay, and then I'll climb down to the window drop and rig that with a 100 footer. So we'll have three that we rig. Then I have a hand line that I'm bringing along to help get down a small bit of rocky area. But everything else is rigged. There's a fun swing out. When we get finished climbing up in one area, you can grab a rope that's around the corner and clip into it, and then basically swing out and rappel down. It's a fun little thing to do. I like the giggle.
I'm delighted. We did Conley Hole yesterday, and that was a great time. I had been there before, but I'd always heard about Kegels, and so I couldn't wait to jump on this trip. So when you look back at the times when you would come down here and do Kegels on the way back, what else is it that you remember having done? Okay, so you would come back to Kegels, because there are so many cavers that are like, I've been there, done that. Did you frequent caves other than Kegels?
Oh, yeah. The whole idea of coming to TAG was to do as many pits as we could in one day, or in one weekend, because we had, basically the weekend. We drive, 500 miles from St. Louis, cave all weekend long, and then drive 500 miles back. And it was always my goal my philosophy that, a good day on the road to or from TAG is better than a day sitting on the couch at home or cutting grass or whatever. So it was just a fun, fun way to spend the weekend. And we do that four or five times a year. And we started doing this exact weekend a long time ago with a whole bunch of good buddies from the Merrimack Valley Grotto. And we called it the Sinkhole de Mayo weekend. So, and that became a thing. We did that probably 8 or 10 years in a row. And then, of course, we'd come down for TAG or, Sarah, all of the different caving conventions that we have.
And now Sarah is on Sinkhole de Mayo.
It is. It's great timing. And yet it's a carnival theme, or a medieval theme. So we couldn't quite figure out how to get ye olde taco shop into the mix, but we did.
And speaking of the theme, oh, big old puppy. Look at that big old shaggy dog laying down on the road. He's on the road.
Yeah, just watching traffic go by.
What are you doing, buddy?
Hi, Dad.
There's another one. Oh, goodness. All right. Yeah, this is a podcast, so it's really nice that we're talking about dogs that you can't see.
It was big. It was white.
It was big, and it was white, and it was gorgeous. Yeah. Adorable. The ones that I keep coming back to that I haven't done yet. I'm going to knock Kegel's Chasm off the list today, which I'm very happy about. But I still haven't been to Stephen's Gap. I haven't been to Neversink. I haven't been to Valhalla.
Yeah.
You name the classic. I haven't been there. I really haven't. Okay. I've been down here four times now and haven't done a lot of the classics. I've gone along with, you know, folks who have done all the classics and didn't want to do the classics because they'd done them already. I got to make a trip down to do those. But, yeah, I don't know. What stands out in your memory?
Oh, Valhalla, Neversink, Balcony Sink, all of those. There are a lot of them that are closed now down here that have been, access has been changed. And so you can't get to them. Some of the different pits and stuff, but it was always a we could do vertical in our horizontal caves in Missouri, not a lot of vertical, and so we would come down here and spend our week just doing pits, just bouncing pits, and I think the record was like seven pits in one weekend, seven of the classic pits where we'd get up early, eat breakfast, go bob, drop a pit, and then go find the next one real quick. So, but we did a lot of the same ones, over and over again, even at TAG. Somebody, you were caving with a guy yesterday who likes to do a lot of new caves all the time, and I love him for that. Corey is always, bringing up some new, hey, I found this, let's try that, kind of cave. And I didn't hang around with a group like that. We were like, hey, we get to go do Valhalla again. And you're like, okay. And at that time, there wasn't a lot of cave, a lot of known cave in Valhalla. So we didn't have the nice loop trail back in Valhalla that's fun to go climb around in and do the ropes course in the back and stuff like that. So if you are interested in coming to any of those other the caves that people have done, I'm still interested in coming down and doing those classics over and over again.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me. I'll be retiring in a couple of years, and I just want to do everything I can, until I can't do it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it seems to me like caves, for some cavers, it's kind of like Pokemon. You got to catch them all, and that's not me, and it doesn't sound like it's you either. So I feel like we're kindred spirits in that way.
There you go. It's you go to McDonald's and you get the pull off tab, and you're going, oh, I got 42 of those now. And I just need that other one. Yeah, that's not me. I'm just happy to be on rope and a lot of teaching. We've got some people this weekend that are going with us today that will probably need a little bit of education, and I love teaching people how to do the right thing, how to be safe, how to learn new and better and safer techniques. And so we're going to be doing that a little bit today too. I've got a friend coming who is a very trustworthy soul, and she's been on a Colorado rescue team, and so she's somebody I invite along every time I come, just in case something happens.
That's one thing that I love about vertical caving, and just cavers in general, but specific to vertical caving, you have to be open to education, because if you're caught doing something wrong, it could mean your life or someone else's life, and you've got to be open to being called out for mistakes. Like, I went on a trip with Hazel Barton one time. It was just me and her, and I didn't do a quick tie off, as I was kind of setting the rope pad going down this big pit. I just kind of leaned back, and it was a slow rope, and I just was, I was just trusting that, which was the wrong thing to do. And she told me that, and I would expect anyone to do the same if I'm seen doing something unsafe. Yesterday, we're at Conley Hole. Justin, the guy who rigged the rope, he couldn't see that I was clipped into the rebelay at the top of the pit. He couldn't see that, so he just called out and checked. Hey, are you clipped into the rebelay? Yes, I am. And I appreciate that. I could see how some people might, take offense to, yeah, I know what I'm doing. But I don't know, with vertical caving, it just seems like we're all looking out for each other. And because we're all looking out for each other, you got to be open to any kind of criticism like that, you know?
Constructive criticism. It's not that we're, you know, trying to pick on anybody. And I'm completely open to somebody saying, you know, so I'm an old guy, right? And I've been doing this for quite a while. And even us old guys, you know, are not outside of the requirement to be open to being checked. So
we've got about 12 minutes left on this drive. I want to go back to the beginning for you. How did you get into caving?
Oh my gosh, here we go. I actually started caving. My sister met a bunch of people in the old Hondo Grotto in St. Louis, and they had I was 11 years old at the time, so they had a group for kids that they were training kids how to cave, and it was the old Tracy group, training and rescue and caving for youth. So I joined up with them at 11. My first wild cave was a classic in Illinois across the river from St. Louis called Mammoth Cave at the time, and now it's called Illinois Cavern. It was Little Mammoth Cave, now it's Illinois Cavern. And so I was hooked. It was a three-hour trip, and I just kept wanting to go. My sister had since dropped out, and I just kept going, hanging out with them, and I eventually kind of wormed my way as a kid into the Hondo Grotto, which is no longer in existence. Then when that ended, I actually started an Explorer Post, Explorer Post 129 out of St. George Church in Afton, Missouri. And it was kind of a twofold thing. I really wanted to go caving all the time, but, you know, as a, you know, late teens kind of guy, I was like, I wanted to meet women. At the time, Explorer Post allowed you to bring females into the crowd. So I think my Explorer Post was a good mix of probably 50% guys, 50% girls. And we did a lot of caving in central Missouri. And that was basically how I got started. So it was fun.
The central Missouri, it's all horizontal, right?
I don't know of any vertical at all. It's a short little pit, you know, drop, a 20-foot drop, 30-foot drop. And we did a lot of those on cable ladders back in the day. So, yeah, I'm not sold that we did things on, you know, we would, like, roll up our own reeds so that we could go caving for a while. But we did use, you know, carbide and beaners and bars and stuff like that. So it was that long ago.
But was it the same kind of thing where you would go to the same ones often, just, you know, different routes each time or something like that?
Sometimes we'd go to the same ones often, just because it was, you know, they were close or whatever. The funny thing about leaving St. Louis to go caving is you either go across the river into Illinois or you go out Highway 44. And Merrimack State Park is loaded with caves, you know, Sheep Cave. There were a lot of the same caves over and over again. But, you know, we were underground. We were kids. We were out having fun.
It's funny to hear that, you know, because so many or so often anymore, like the state park caves, you're just not allowed in there. And it makes sense why, because we as cavers know how disorienting a cave can be, and that's why we've kind of developed this skill set to be able to find our way in, find our way out, find our way around, that kind of thing. But these were just open to anybody? Did you have to get a permit? Was there anything like that?
No, they were, back in that time, they were open. They were. This was before the big project called the Merrimack Dam. The Merrimack River was being dammed by the Army Corps for a entertainment lake, you know, for water and things for the city of St. Louis. And what they found out over the course of trying to build a dam in a karstic area was there are a lot of holes, a lot of leaks. And so the dam never got built, but for a while it was kind of a radical thing for us to go into these caves that were being closed and, you know, and gated and things like that, you know, covered up with chicken wire so you weren't supposed to be able to get into them and things like that. So the caves were open, but, you know, we weren't supposed to be going into them. And then they found the Indiana bat in some of them, which is an endangered species. And so they ended up saying, no, you can't go into the caves at all, and they can't build the dam. And, you know, it became a big thing. But I was involved in a little bit of that. But some of my friends in the grotto were heavily, heavily involved, you know, almost to the point of radicalism, you know, to stop this dam from being built. It would have flooded Onondaga Cave to a, you know, which is a big commercial cave in southeast central Missouri, it would have flooded it to a level that would have, you know, ruined the cave, you know, killed bats, things like that. So,
are these caves that can be visited now, or does the ban still stand?
Yeah, they can all be built, visited. Most of them are commercial caves. So Missouri is called the cave state. We have this big, you know, issue between, you know, which state actually has more caves. And it's a running joke. I'll clear it up a little bit that Missouri was actually called the cave state because of the number of show caves that were in Missouri, right? Mm. So I moved to Tennessee, and I like to razz my friends that, well, Tennessee is the, quote, real cave state. and some friends of mine who actually put the license plate, Missouri the Cave State, together for the Missouri Caves Conservancy. You like talking about the different conservancies and things for people to donate to. Well, that's been the one that I've been a member of for so long. You know, they brought out the license plate, and they make money off of it, you know, and things like that. And I keep saying I'm going to create another plate that says Tennessee, the real cave state. I won't do it, but it's always fun to threaten them.
Well, we're almost there. This group seems like a good one that we're bringing along with us today. Have you caved with most of these folks before?
No, as a matter of fact, I haven't. It was kind of an opportunity to meet new cavers. I always take an opportunity to lead a trip as, you know, I will have one or two people that I know and trust along with me, but the rest of us are, you know, let's just go have fun, guys, you know? And so that's how this group is. I've really not met any of them before. So I have had talks with every one of them about, you know, vertical and, you know, the ability to self-rescue and self-confidence and again, the opportunity for me to help educate, you know, teach people safety and how to have a good time. And this doing it in one of my favorite caves is just, you know, it's just icing on the cake.
I can't wait to see this one. All right, well, I'm bringing the recorder with me into the cave.
Okay.
Just in case. And we'll see how that goes. Here at Cagle's Chasm, walking from Jeepside to the main pit. Main pit's being rigged right now, so is Jeepside. And really looking forward to dropping this one. This is my first time here. I've heard about it for a long time. So I just made it down Cagle's Chasm. Somebody want a whoop for me?
Oh, that's beautiful.
That was a great time.
That was a phenomenal.
Oh, God, that was
phenomenal pit. Cool little traverse.
How was that? Yeah, how was that?
The traverse was cool. It was
I enjoyed it. I don't know if you could see, like, the biggest smile on my face. So.
It was dark in there, so I couldn't.
It was just playing around on rope.
Yeah, I got a little wet, too. I appreciated you pulling me out of the water.
Yeah, I hope that actually helped.
It really did. It really. I mean, I got a little wet, but I'm dry now.
Can you fix the rope on the rope pad?
Oh, yeah. We're taking that, you know, the Hungary class?
Yeah, he told me. You're going to New York.
They're doing the New York one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
going
to be awesome.
I'm so stoked. So, I'm actually a little out of practice with the rack because we've been using the bobbin.
Well, they're going to want you to use the bobbin for that one, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's a requirement. I did ask.
Yeah.
And not just any bobbin, it's got to be the stop.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Stop only.
Yeah. Does anyone want to do this one again?
Yeah,
I absolutely would.
All right.
I would absolutely bounce it.
Who wants to go first?
You've been sitting up here for a while, so you're welcome.
I'll go. All right, I'll go.
Do you want any snack or anything first?
No, I'm good.
I'm going to snack it up.
I had a huge breakfast. Nobody's on it?
Sure. On rope!
Here we go. Do it again.
You didn't take any of your gear off or anything when you were at the top?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm still on.
Sweet.
Appreciate you checking, though.
Absolutely.
It was so chilly. So chilly. Here we are, heading down. How's it going?
What's that? We went up there.
You went up this way?
We went up that rope and we did the little dome room and then we climbed out jeep size.
Cool.
And now I'm just doing this one again.
Cool.
Oh, rope! Okay!
I saw the salamander again. That was really cool.
There's so many of them down here.
That is such a beautiful hole.
It's cool to look up.
It really is. Like looking into a different galaxy.
I came down that.
I know.
I came down that and lived to tell the tale.
I liked your singing. That's good. At first, I was like, where's that?
Hey, look at you doing that.
Oh, that felt good. It felt better the second time. I feel like no matter how many times you do it, you still get a little nervous at the top.
I know. That's kind of, it's focusing, isn't it? If you channel that anxiety in the right way, it can really help.
I had, I was reading like a long time ago. Said that your amygdala like uses the same whatever release kind of thing it is for excitement and for fear. Like it's the same like hormone. It's like a kind of adrenaline.
Uh-huh.
And so you can tell yourself that instead of being scared, you're excited.
Mm-hmm.
It does not work for public speaking. I did try it, and it does not work for public speaking, but sometimes it works on rope.
It also explains the popularity of horror movies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Off rope!
Okay. I just climbed out of Kegel's Chasm for the second time. This time out the main pit. The other group still wasn't quite done, so... the three of us came over here and bounced it again. I'm glad that it took my recorder a second to warm up. Otherwise, it would have sounded even more out of breath than I do now. But man, what a gorgeous pit. Jeep side's great too. Those draperies once you get towards the top. And though I didn't mean to, I, you know, kicked one of the draperies toward the top and there was this beautiful doom as it vibrated against my accidental kick. And it just demonstrates the fragility. Gotta be careful. Beautiful day to be caving in Tennessee.
Off rope! Oh, man. Now I'm warm.
Right? And that, it is warm. Warm enough for having climbed 180-some feet.
Oh, yeah. Never Sink is cool, too. Never Sink was our first pit.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good first pit.
That's a hell of a first pit.
That kind of, that's one that could, depending on who you are, ruin you for other pits.
And we rigged it.
And you rigged it.
I rigged it, yes. So Dogwood City Grotto does a great SRT and rigging class.
Yeah.
Go for it.
So here we are. We're heading back. We're heading back from Kegel's Chasm. Can I get everybody... Can I just get everybody's full name?
Yeah,
I'm Chris Lee.
I'm Jennifer Young.
Mm-hmm. Jeff Rose.
Now we've got that on the record. The suspects have been named.
Oh, God.
We've only been caving together all day.
You weren't with us. Can you describe the route that you took today?
So we went down the big pit, 183 feet. And then we went on down further, down this little breakdown path, and ended up in a room with a really nice flowstone and a nice pool at the bottom. But that wasn't the way to go, so we went back up, and we kind of climbed through a little chimney, through a little hole in the wall, ended up in some really tight passages until we came to handline, and we shimmied up the rope handline, found some more little canyony areas, till we came to a traverse, And the traverse was a little hairy because it was a nice little crevasse down below, and you had to clip in and kind of take a little leap of faith, stepping across some little rock formations. Once we got past that, that was pretty much the last of the hairy spots. We did a little more crawling through some tight spots, and then came to the rope, the third rope in the main chamber that led back down into the way out. So it was a nice little loop trip.
Yeah.
Really fun trip. So.
And we kind of did an abbreviated version of that too, right? Jennifer, do you want to kind of narrate what we did?
Yeah, we bounced the main pit. I didn't realize it was 183, but we bounced the main pit.
Did you think it was bigger or smaller?
I thought it was a little bit smaller, but I guess that sounds about right, 183. Jim had rigged Jeep side down into the main pit. So we went up into, I think it's called the window. We went up into the window and went through this little baby squeeze, and it popped out into this really awesome dome room where Jeep side is. And you can either go up to Jeep side or you can go left and go into another section where there are a bunch of traverses and everything. So you can traverse across the pool hugging the wall, and it opens up into this beautiful dome with these awesome like rimstone pools. And so it's this big dome and this awesome like glowing rimstone pools, and there's a little spot where you can poke your head up under and see some other cool formations and stuff. I didn't pop over there. I think Chris did. And then we went back over and popped up Jeep side, which was absolutely fantastic. I would totally bounce that again with the awesome like cave pork belly like hanging from the ceiling. It's like massive drapery, and it's really incredible. I would hang out there just sitting and looking at the drapery all day.
And then we did it again.
And then we did it again.
The main pit anyway.
Yeah, that was great.
What have the two of you done?
We really are pretty new to it, but we've been trying to go as hard as we can. We started last July, and we've done a lot of SCCI properties. We've tried to hit up a lot of the classics, like Never Sink, Balcony Sink, Tumbling Rock. And then the moment we got on rope, that sealed the deal there. And so we've been trying to do vertical pretty much, not exclusively, but a lot of vertical almost every weekend since February, which is when we got our gear set up and everything. So trying to see as much cave as possible.
I think we've been almost every single weekend since we took the vertical class with Darren in mid-January. We've been almost every single weekend, coming up, 3 hours to tag and finding something to bounce or just a little bit of horizontal.
Yeah.
And you're coming from Atlanta?
Yes.
We're coming from the east side of Atlanta, yeah.
What was the trip that got you into caving, would you say?
Tumbling Rock.
Just that Tumbling Rock trip?
Yeah, absolutely. We had done a little bit of, no ropes, but a little bit of canyoneering, doing Subway in Zion early last year.
You did that?
Yeah, we did. We went and we pulled a permit, and we did a Subway out and back trip in one day at Zion, and I wanted to figure out how can I do that here.
So let me interject a little bit about the Subway trip. This Subway trip was in March, and it was 20 degrees the night before, and so everything was frozen, and the water was icy.
So that's how you got a permit. You did it in March.
That's how we got a permit, yeah. Do it when it's miserable, and then no one will want to do it then.
We were the only ones who pulled the permit, yeah.
We'll have the whole canyon to ourselves.
Yep.
The two of you?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so you've got to know what you're doing to be able to do that. And just spending the day with you has shown me that the two of you are very technically minded. So was there a learning curve for caving? Is there as much of a learning curve for caving?
I think there are some auxiliary things that if you're into a lot of high adventure sports, definitely help you pick it up more quickly. But there are some things that are very unique to caving that you almost have to unlearn other sports before you can really learn how to do caving. Because we're both a little bit into sport climbing. We did climbing first. Yeah. And done a lot of backpacking and some trip management stuff. But especially with the climbing, you almost have to unlearn some of that to really be good at caving, I think. I don't know. What do you think?
I would agree. I think there's a lot of things that are kind of universal to outdoor sports in general, trip management, preparedness, emergency medicine, things like that. That all translates really well to caving, but caving is just completely unique.
How did you get on the tumbling? How did you find out about the tumbling rock trip?
So I have caved before. I caved with Boy Scouts back in, I guess, middle school and high school. And then when I was in college, we did a cleanup at Pettyjohn. I had some exposure to caving. I knew it was a thing. And so after we went and did some of these canyons, I started thinking about, well, is there canyoneering in the Southeast? Well, yes, there's a little bit, but there's also caves. And so I floated the idea. We found Dogwood City Grotto. We joined, jumped on basically the first group trip we could jump onto, and that was Tumbling Rock.
Was there a moment on that trip where you could feel the turn, where you're like, I don't know, man, this might be a thing that we might have to keep doing in a big way?
I mean, I love so much about that trip. I'm trying to think of what was like the moment. I think the moment that I was totally and completely hooked was on the way back out. You can do what's called the sewers. And it's not the sewers that's on the map. There's another sewers that if you're going with somebody who's familiar with it, you can pop through this little teeny tiny hole into the water, and then you can go up a little ways to a little mini waterfall through like waist deep water. And then coming back out, you go through a place where the airspace gets kind of smaller. It's not quite an ear dipper unless the water's super high, but it can get a little bit tight there. Definitely very approachable for a new caver. And you just like pop back out the other side after a little squeeze there. And it's just a ton of fun. It felt so great after caving hard all day to drop into that water and pop back out. It was fantastic. I love it. I do it every time I go to Tumbling Rock.
I know that having just gotten started, there's a lot on your list, but what's on the list of places you haven't been yet that you really, really want to go?
Well, the first thing is we're really excited. We're going to the Caving Academy class in New York this June. Mm. So we're very stoked about that for sure. And then after that, even just with SCCI properties, we could spend another 6 months to a year before we even come close to seeing it all.
So much on the list. I guess maybe Moses Tomb would Moses be a good Tomb. A good bounce. Yeah.
Jeff, how long have you been caving?
So I started caving in 1994. I had been into rock climbing since around 91 or something. Driving through Atlanta, saw some guys hanging on a building and thought that looked like the profession for me. So I became a high-rise window washer and met a guy who was a caver. And so he said he wanted to take us caving. So my first caving trip was Sarah, 1994. My first cave was Jeepside, which we just did today.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, so it was supposed to be Kegels, but when we got up there, there were a lot of people waiting to get on rope. And so we said, well, let's just go up to Jeepside and just bounce that. I had actually sprained my wrist a few days before, so I couldn't move my right wrist. And I wasn't going to go down, but one of the guys went down, came back up, and he kind of started freaking out. And he was saying, what is that? What is that? And we were like, what? He's on my shoulder. And so I looked, and he had a little bat had landed on his shoulder, and he came out of the cave with the bat, and I said, I'm next. And I said, I will find a way out of this cave. So so I bounced it. We didn't go down into the main chamber. We just bounced down to the window and came back up. But I was hooked at that point. I was just, this is the coolest thing, because like Jennifer was saying, you know, on the way down Jeepside, it's just, okay, there's these beautiful draperies. Oh, look, there's more formations over on this side. There's more formations there. Go a little bit further. Oh, more formations. It was just amazing.
Have you been back to Kegels since then?
No, this was my first time back. So
this is the first time doing the big pit.
Exactly. So I in a way, I felt like I was finishing that first trip, you know. And the friend who got me into caving, he passed away a long time ago. So it's kind of a, you know, bittersweet kind of thing for me.
So today's kind of a full circle moment.
It is absolutely a full circle moment for me. So I got to go rappel the big pit, and then I climbed out of Jeepside.
Yeah.
So it was really kind of a circular thing for me.
Oh, that's cool.
How often would you say you cave?
Well, when I was younger, we used to go once a month or something. We were, you know, a little bit, you know, not as serious about it. We would go and we'd camp. And it was just about the friends getting together, and we'd go cave and then go camping at night. And I did that for a long time. And then, you know, life intervened, family, kids, career, all that. So I kind of got out of caving for a while. I just got back into it last summer, and I've done the best caving of my life since last summer.
Yeah.
Because I've met all these great people from Dogwood City Grotto who want to go as hard and as long as possible and do all these great caves, and it's just been absolutely amazing for me.
So what have you been doing in the last year?
The best thing that I've done, and this is my favorite trip that I've ever done, was we did Valhalla about a month and a half ago or something, and it was so awesome. First of all, we had a great group of people who were just cool people. And so, you know, it's a 227-foot pit, which is amazing. I had done it before, but we just bounced it. But this time we did the loop. And so we had Jennifer, Helen, and Mickey. I was with them. And we went in one way. And you go and you know, go through some breakdown and climb. And then, oh, there's a rope hanging. Oh, I got to go up this rope about 15 feet. Cool. So then you get a little bit more, and then, oh, there's another rope. I got to go down this one about 20 feet. Cool. And then eventually you end up in this huge dome, and you realize, oh, there's a 100-foot dome that I got to climb. So it was, I think, three relays. And so, you know, I get up to the top, and I'm sitting on a ledge, and off to the left is a rope that you got to swing around to rappel down again. So you got to go from your, you know, ascending gear to your rappelling gear. And, you know, then you go down, and there's another little pit. You end up at this beautiful waterfall, and then another little descent back into the main chamber, where then, you know, you're nice and tired, and you got to climb out 227 feet.
Yeah.
That was my favorite day, because it was so much rope work, and it was just like a playground. It was a jungle gym. It was just really awesome. I had never done that much rope work in a single trip. So
have you since?
Probably not, no. I mean, that was still the most. We did a lot today, but that was probably the most, yeah.
Any other highlights?
Doing Tumbling Rock was great. I had done it before, but I had not done the sewers. So like Jennifer said, the sewers are just so awesome because you drop through this hole in the floor. You're in water. It's this little mazy piece. And then you know, duck under on the way out, and you pop out into the big space. That was awesome.
Do you need a wetsuit for that?
I don't think so. I mean, we were on the way out. It was pretty close to the entrance, so I don't think you need it.
Have you done much wetsuit caving?
I have not. I have a wetsuit. I haven't done any. That's one thing I would like to do is I really love water in the caves. So I would love to do something where you get just soaking wet and, you know, it's just very sporting.
I'm the same way. We used to go a lot, I don't know, 10, 11 years ago. Me and this group that I had in Indiana, and I had the nickname Water Bear for a little while.
Nice.
And they were like, because there are a few caves in Indiana where you can either stay high and dry or you can go low and wet. And I would always go low and wet. And if I'm equipped to do so, I will always go low and wet. But there's not as much, it seems to me, unless you're doing a wet multi-drop, and I could be completely wrong because I don't really know because I don't live down here, but it seems to me like there's not as much wetsuit caving down here. Am I right or wrong from your perspective?
I think there's some. There's not a ton as far as I know, but you can certainly find them if you really want them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can always just wait for it to rain a lot.
That's true. We could do the water park trip.
That's right.
After a big storm.
Well, one of the guys I've been caving with, David, said that there's a cave called Hurricane, which is a very easy, straightforward cave. But he said they would always wait until it rained like crazy because the entrance to the cave, you go up into this culvert, and it's kind of a slight incline. And he said when it rains like crazy, the water is just rushing out of there. So you fight like crazy to get up in it, and it's pretty much a straight cave, pretty linear. And he said if he's rushing good enough, you get far back far in it, and then you can just turn around and just like water slide right out of it. Just like a flume. So
that's a great idea.
That sounds pretty sporting to me.
There's a few trips like that in Indiana. What a delightful day. Thanks for being a part of it, everybody.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed caving with you today. It was great.
It was a great day of caving.
It was absolutely a great day of caving. Great weekend of caving. Thanks to Sarah and Jim putting it all together.
Amen to that. All right. Full disclosure, if you're not a caver and you heard that, this idea of going caving after a big rain event or something like that, that is definitely not always safe in all caves. Only in some caves and only with experience. You don't want to go in the wrong cave after a big rain. So there's that. But I totally take the point in that story. That sounds awesome. Thanks again to Jim Minnie, Chris Lee, Jennifer Young, Jeff Rose, and everybody who was on that trip. There were a few people who you heard from who I didn't credit because I didn't get their names. And my apologies to those people, but the entire trip was great. And I doubt you enjoyed it as much as I did having been there, but I hope you at least enjoyed it a little bit. This has been the Caving Podcast. Thanks for listening. Next month will be the final installment in my Sarah Cave Carnival series. And this one was really cool. I sat down with Zeke McKee for a little bit at Sarah, and then we picked up the rest of the conversation with a video call a few weeks later. And if you know Zeke, you know it's going to be a good talk. So that's August 1st. Want to thank our sponsor, Sophie Reaptress. Get a cave suit, sophiereaptress.com. And thanks to our past sponsors, Swago, swagogear.com for a nice cave pack. Organic Robot Designs if you need t-shirts made. And El Spelio Lights, currently being sold by OnRope One. And I know I've got one more episode to go before Indiana Cave Capers, but I hope you're making plans to come to Indiana, because I'd love to hang out. And you can pre-register at the link in the description, of course. Until next time, kill nothing but time.